all back. Playing against the Charles, Akeem, and the Shaq. But guys like Jamal, Jason Kidd, and Jimmy Jackson come to reunion and see nothing but action. Dick Motta, we got him. Jamal Mashburn, yeah,
we got him.
Jason and Jimmy,
yeah, we got him. You ever heard this?
Call 214-988-0117 for exciting season ticket plans.
That was a common theme of my youth. Jim Jackson, we got him. Jamal Mashburn, we got him.
So when the three of them were here, were you convinced?
Oh, my goodness.
That's
dude.
The next super team?
Why not? They could have been. But what happened, Dan?
And that is the subject of today's Kempfin.
Kempfin. So this gets brought up a lot. It is the rumored love triangle between Jason Kidd, Jim Jackson, and R&B star at the time, Toni Braxton.
It's what I always hear is just she broke up the Mavericks.
Right. And I guess the blanket disclaimer here should be that it's probably not true. But there are still some pretty interesting details here. However, the most interesting part of this story to me is not about Toni Braxton. It's about just having three young dudes on a team with absolutely no leadership who are all three extremely immature and who all three were being told you should be the best player on a team. Like, it's real cool to have LeBron, Wade, and Bosh because they were deep into their careers.
Yeah, they've already been through it 6-7 years.
Right.
LeBron not able to win with another guy that's, you know... Yeah, you then all of a sudden can share some of the spotlight if that's going to help you get to where you want to go.
Similar to the Thunder.
It is very almost. Similar.
Yeah, when they were real young.
It is very similar to the Thunder. And, you know, you think about the Suns of current day. DeAndre Ayton was a 1-1, and he was drafted to a team with a young star, but he was drafted, what, 5-6 years after Devin Booker? There's no space in between Jim Jackson, then Jamal Mashburn, then Jason Kidd. It was every year. So each time, another guy's being added in to two other guys who are already like, hey, well, I'm the guy, and quarreling with each other. So after they won 11 games the year Jim Jackson was drafted, they draft Jamal Mashburn, and then they draft Jason Kidd, and you've got they marketed it as like the Triple J Ranch. You know, they were real heavy on the Western cowboy marketing, and there's an ad with Jamal Mashburn and Jim Jackson standing there, and Jim Jackson says, I heard there's a new kid in town. And they're all like at an OK Corral setting wearing Dusters and Mav shirts.
Are we doing that less now? Because I'm watching Hard Knocks 2002, and that's their open is...
Cowboy,
you know,
stuff.
Cattle and, yeah, cowboys and like the whole...
I don't think so. I mean, that's all the Monday Night Football graphics.
See, I was
they still
say,
do.
You still see it a lot on like the Fox Game of the Week, you know, America's Game. They'll still lean heavily into here's a ranch 50 miles outside of downtown.
But yeah, and I guess even Dirk had his cowboy hat pictures.
Right. Yeah. So they were leaning heavy into it at the time with the Mavericks. Yeah, here there's a new kid in town. And then he like slings a pass to him and blows his fingers like they're pistols. It's really corny and really funny. So, once they draft Jamal Mashburn, Jim Jackson's not happy. Because now here's another guy who scores. And they get Jason Kidd, and then it's one of those situations where Jim Jackson gets hurt, and now Jamal Mashburn is like, hey, I can fill this role, and he played really well. Jason Kidd distributing, Mashburn scoring. Then Jim Jackson comes back from injury, and he's mad that he's not the guy he was before, because now Jamal Mashburn is finding his way. And now Jason Kidd is upset because he's like, just figure these two morons out over here. I don't have time for this as a point guard. And it just starts getting really, really messy. And it culminated, at least rumor-wise, that the team was in Atlanta. This is the rumor. I believe this is late 1995. Mavs are in Atlanta to play the Hawks, and Kidd arranges a date with Toni Braxton, who was a superstar at the time. Again, this is the rumor. Arranges a date with Toni Braxton, sets up a limo to come pick him up, and then they were going to go pick her up in the limo. Well, Well, the rumor is that when the limo showed up at the Mavericks hotel, Jim Jackson beat him to it and just got in and was like, yeah, I'm the guy who ordered the limo. Take me to Tony Braxton. And kids steamed about it. And he's just waiting for the limo without knowing
that
Jim Jackson, that's what people said.
All right.
That's what was the start, and that Jim Jackson goes on this date with Tony Braxton. Now, as far as whether or not this is true or not, here are the pieces of the story we have. Kidd says that in November of 1995, so that same year, there was a team field trip when they were in New York to go see Tony Braxton at her recording studio. They were all big fans, and they were going to go see her while she was recording an album, like get a tour of the studio and see what was up. The whole team. Except, Kidd says, whenever transportation came for the team, somehow he didn't get the call that they were ready to go, and he got left at the hotel. With Scott Brooks, no less. If you ever forget that Scotty Brooks was a Maverick. Apparently he wasn't exactly high on the list of guys who were getting the invite either, so Kidd is left. He's like, I just spent the evening hanging out with Scotty Brooks. So, he got left behind for a team trip to go see Tony Braxton at her studio. That's what he says happened. Now, we also have that, I believe, what coach was it? Dick Motta said a few years after this that while he didn't know about this specific story, that there were, quote, two cases in which Jackson and Kidd did clash over women. That was a public comment. Now, he didn't say it was Tony Braxton. He was asked about it, and he's like, look, I don't know if that story is true or not. I don't know what that situation is, but there were two different cases where Jason Kidd and Jim Jackson, quote, clashed over women. We also have, at the time, Tony Braxton promoting an album. People still, like, really heavily promoted albums in the 90s because you could make a ton of money.
Uh-huh.
So she's getting asked about it, and you could possibly see this as her just trying to, you know, drum up a little controversy and publicity. She said that she maybe met Jackson, maybe met Kidd, but she's not the type to kiss and tell.
I heard that was on a Dallas radio station, too.
It was.
Okay.
It was. So she's making the rounds, you know, and pops in here, and of course they're going to ask about that.
Yeah.
And so she says, you know, as far
so
as
so that's
dating,
in the middle of the rumors are going on.
Yeah.
And she just says, I don't kiss and tell.
Right.
And which kind of means yes.
Maybe I met Jason.
Yeah.
It means yes, or you want people to think the answer is yes. One or the other.
Or to keep talking about you, yeah.
Right.
I choose to believe the former.
Yeah,
it means yes.
Even if it's not true, we have an NBA head coach flat out saying a couple years after his tenure with the team, my two best players clashed over women twice. But again, they were so young at the time.
Uh-huh.
I mean, we're talking, you know, 21, 20, 22-year-olds who have all been drafted to a team with absolutely no, you know, firm leadership. Ownership is in transition. The whole thing is a mess. They don't really have enough vets, you know, to make this all work. So I think probably what the case is that these three guys were already at their wits' end with each other. And in fact, speaking of Scotty Brooks, Jason Kidd demanded a trade after he had tried to work things out with Jim Jackson. And Jamal Mashburn had problems with Jim Jackson. And Jason Kidd saw Jim Jackson berating Scott Brooks for nothing, you know, into the bench guy.
Saw who berating him?
Jim Jackson.
Okay.
Was berating Scott Brooks. And the next day was like, I'm done with this. This is not going to be, we've had enough closed door meetings. There's a rumor mill about how we're
but
all...
But I thought Jason Kidd was being brought in because he understands Luka and he can make things work smoothly here. Like the way he did when he was a point guard.
That didn't happen all that often.
So his idea was to demand a trade.
Yeah.
To smooth things out.
Yeah. That doesn't mean it wasn't Jim Jackson's fault, but it is a case that a guy who was, you know, a co-rookie of the year and was drafted that highly within a few years is like, get me out of here.
Who was he rookie of the year with?
Grant Hill.
Okay. And was Jim Jackson also a rookie of the year, his rookie year? They're both, they're all great, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And, down there.
And in fact, I mean, they were getting better. They had nowhere to go from but up.
But really, that's why he was brought in, because he understands.
Currently?
He was brought in to help Luka navigate these tough waters the way Jason Kidd navigated those waters.
Yeah.
By asking out. So if Luka leaves, he will have been learned that from Jason Kidd.
In a roundabout way, I suppose you could say that, yes. But, I mean, they went from 11 to 13 wins up to 36. And then that's when things fell apart. So it wasn't like they weren't getting better. They just didn't want to play together anymore.
Okay, but they never became a playoff team or anything yet.
No. But they were all so young that you could have seen it actually working out.
Yeah.
And so I think it really is they had a lot of problems. They were super young. They lack leadership and defined roles. And then here comes this rumor mill thing. And they're probably each thinking that one or the other is the one fueling it to the media. And some of the quotes, you know, that these guys were giving to the media during this time where they were both still on the same team are shocking. Like Jason Kidd at one point said something about Jim Jackson to the effect of, I don't understand why, you know, I shouldn't be the one rowing this boat. You know, at some point, rather than me just hopping on his boat and being a passenger, like, I'm the point guard, you know, I need my own boat. And I believe Jim Jackson the next day responded in the media, he should get his own boat and several life vests and rafts if that's the way he wants it, because it's not going to be floating for long. They were publicly taking shots at each other.
That sounds fun.
Yeah, it sounds fun unless your team is in, you know, dire straits and you think, all right, we're picking 4-4-2 and we've been able to draft the top. Imagine that. Imagine if that happened now. Imagine if the Mavericks got Luka and then drafted in the top 5 two more years, and then within 2 years, 3 years, all three of them are gone, and it's because they all three hate each other.
Yeah, and that's not the era of player empowerment.
You could have
kept them under your thumb for many years.
Absolutely.
Like the Bulls.
And it's one of those sort of, can you still say Mexican standoff? Or can you just say like Reservoir Dogs? It's one of those deals where three dudes have all guns,
yeah,
all
Reservoir.
Guns all pointed at each other.
Yeah, you can say Reservoir.
And they're thinking, all right, if just one of us is out of here, we can probably make this work. And instead, they just all three end each other.
And their high watermark was 30-some wins? I always thought they were kind of a playoff team. No.
No, they didn't make the playoffs until
year three
of Donnie and Dirk.
Imagine
Dirk's first year.
Imagine the fighting they would have been doing had they been a 50-win team.
Yeah. I mean, you'd hope that maybe
so I want all the credit for these 30 wins.
Right. You're parceling out just these morsels over who should be more mad. So anyways, yeah.
And what did the Mavs get for them? Were they able to rebuild, or did they just completely miss on those three top picks?
Man, I'd have to go back and look at that. I mean, they were not good until Nelson's third year. So, I mean, they went from 36.
What year was this that you're talking about?
94-95. And then after that,
yeah, it took...
Yeah, 95-96, 26 wins. 96-97, 24 wins. Down to 20, down to 19, and then here comes the cavalry with 40
wins. That's one of the reasons we always thought they were the biggest joke in the NBA, them and the Clippers.
Yeah.
From afar. So they were such a big joke, they even had this next great core, and they couldn't even make that work.
It sucked as a kid.
They got Michael Finley for Jason Kidd.
Okay, that's right. Phoenix.
And A.C. Green.
I don't remember what else. Oh, yeah, Iron Man. Hang the banner.
The born-again virgin. Do you know about that?
I do. Still a little confused by it, but I do know about it. I mean, like, as of right now, I
yeah.
technically am. Yeah.
All right, there is this week's Kempfin.